From the Understood Podcast Network, this is In It, a podcast about the ins and outs,
the ups and downs,
of supporting kids who learn and think differently. I'm Gretchen Veerstra, a former classroom teacher and an editor here at Understood.
And I'm Rachel Bozek, a writer and editor with a family that's definitely in it. Today, we are freaking out a little bit, or at least I am, because we are speaking with an Olympic athlete.
And learning about how having learning and thinking differences may have helped carry her over the finish line.
In 2016, Michelle Carter took a gold medal for shot put, the first American woman to win gold in that sport.
And if that's not enough, Michelle is also a makeup artist, motivational speaker, and an advocate for kids with learning differences.
And even before she won gold, in 2010, she founded a sports camp called You Throw Girl, aimed at building up the confidence of female athletes.
We are so excited to get into all of it with her.
Yes, we are.
Okay, so welcome to In It, Michelle.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
We know you are an Olympic gold medalist. This is amazing. Yes. But you're also a makeup artist, an advocate for girl athletes and kids with learning and thinking differences. So let's start back at the beginning. What were you like as a little kid?
Oh my gosh, my mom would be the best to tell you about it. She said, I was a busybody. You couldn't blink your eyes and think I'm going to still be in the same place type of kid. You blink and I'm gone. There's been times when she took me to like daycare and they'll call my mom. They'll say, Miss Carter, we lost Michelle, but we know she didn't leave the building.
No. So that was kind of a preschool story, but what was school like for you? I heard you say in one interview that you were a, quote, handful in the classroom.
Well, yeah. So I remember in third grade, the teacher said that I just wouldn't sit still. And so in third grade, she put me by her desk and she'll let me just sit however the way I wanted to sit. She said, because I'm doing my work. It's just that I'm not sitting still. And so she just created my own little space for me. But as I got older, I was able to kind of control it because my mom, when we'd go home, we would practice. Like, you have to sit still for like 30 minutes and we'll time it. And when you get done, you can do whatever you want. So over time, just sitting still became easier because I understood, okay, I have this time that I have to do it like this, but then I can have this time where I can do what I want to do.
So besides like trouble sitting still, was there anything else in school that you had a hard time with?
So I'm a little stubborn and I like to do things that I like to do. And so there's been times in the classroom where I didn't quite do things the way the teacher may have wanted me to do. And they took it as me kind of rebelling. And then this one time I wasn't rebelling. The teacher thought I was trying to be smart with her in math class. So we had to have a parent-teacher conference about that. And that turned into a whole nother situation where my parents did tell her that I do think differently and that I do have ADHD. And then she came at me, y'all, with the story of, you remember Little House on the Prairie?
Oh, yes.
And so the quote unquote, like slave black boy that had to go to school and was learning how to read and people was making fun of him and he felt alone and isolated because he didn't understand. She told me that that must be how I feel in her class.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I just sat back and I had to like just let her have that moment. Whatever you want to think about me is fine. Yeah. I'm going to do my work and get out your class.
And you're a little kid, right?
Yeah. This time I'm high school. I'm in high school.
Okay.
I'm a sophomore, and which is still inappropriate for a teacher to say that. It's inappropriate. I was at a predominantly white school. And so that was her first thought, just to hear that about me. That's what you think about me?
Yeah. So when did you find out that you had ADHD and dyslexia? And did you find out at the same time?
So I was tested young. I want to say maybe 4 or 5 years old, I was tested.
Oh, wow.
And so it was always kind of known without being known, if that makes sense. Like, it was more like, hey, you think differently. Mm. You know, you got to work a little harder on this because your mind just does something different. You know, sometimes you can't focus as long. So this is the game plan of how to focus. That's how we approached it versus, you know, you have ADHD and with ADHD, you can't do this and you know you don't do this well. It wasn't presented to me negatively.
Yeah, that's great.
And so it was like, hey, you know, you do things a little differently. That's okay. This is how you're going to do it. Because I remember in elementary school, I almost forgot about this. I used to go to a tutor from third through sixth grade for 1 hour Monday through Thursday. And she helped me with my writing and my math, because I also, with my ADHD, I had dyslexia. And even my tutor, she was a little old lady, Miss Darden.
Oh, Miss Darden.
She's still alive today. And I talk to her every now and again. I check in with her.
Oh, that's so great.
Oh.
But she really worked with me, and she never made me feel stupid. She never made me feel like it wasn't possible. She just really was patient with me. And when I had good days, we was good. And when I had bad days, she'll push through with me and help me figure out what worked best for me.
How did you feel about yourself as a student?
I was fine as a student because my parents taught me early on, especially my mom, like, you get to choose what you want to do. Mm. She didn't allow me to use ADHD as an excuse or saying that it's not possible. She was like, it's going to be harder, but you get to choose how hard you get to work and what grade you want. Mm. And so kind of putting that responsibility back on me, I understood that I had to regulate myself a little differently. And so my mom would always say, well, we know Michelle didn't fall into peer pressure, because if she did, it's because she wanted to. And that was true. And so for me, it was hard to focus and try to get things done when I really just wasn't interested. And it could come off as nonchalant or maybe a little disrespectful, because I'm not here with you in the room. But, you know, I'll do what I need to do outside the classroom to figure it out. And I didn't care one way or the other. I knew that I knew how to do my work. I just knew when I was going to do it, and I was going to make sure I had it turned in on time. And I took care of that. But, you know, some people don't like it when you don't do it how they want it done.
Yeah.
So how old were you when you discovered that you had this talent in track and field? And tell us a little bit about how that came about.
Yeah, so I started doing track and field in seventh grade. This was my first year going to public school, coming from private school. And I tried out and I enjoyed it. I didn't really realize I was good probably until my freshman year in high school. And I won state my freshman year in both shot put and discus for the state of Texas. And I'm like, okay, so this is not too bad. And I just kept going with it, because my daddy told me, get your college paid for. I don't have to pay for it. If you can get your college paid for, guess what? We'll buy you a car. I was like, that's all I got to do? Got it.
That's amazing. So not everybody knows what shot put is, right? Yeah. Like, so let's take a detour for a moment. And can you tell us, you know, what is you're doing and what kinds of skills and strengths are involved to be able to do that well?
Yeah. So the shot put is one of the original Olympic sports. And it's just pretty much trying to throw a heavy ball as far as you can. That's the name of the game. And so the ball that I throw is a 4-kilo metal ball, which is 8.8 pounds. And you have a 7-foot-2-inch ring that you have to stay in and can't touch anything outside of the inside of that ring. Otherwise, it's a foul. And you have to do a special technique. I glide means I push in a straight line going backwards to turn around to the front to throw. And then there's a second technique called the spin, where they kind of spin in like a circle and a half to throw.
It sounds to me, obviously it takes strength. But
you just need the skills. You're right. There is strength. You got to be able to create power. There's quickness involved. You got to be light on your feet. Another thing that people don't really think about for my event is flexibility. Because you want to be able to hit these positions and maximize the positions. So having the mobility and flexibility to allow your lower body to go one direction and your upper body to go the other direction to create maximum torque, which is power. You know, like, flexibility and mobility plays a big role in that. And that was like one of my superpowers that allowed me to throw far without being the absolute strongest.
So did having ADHD or dyslexia ever cause any challenges for you as an athlete? Like, did anything come up at all with coaches that they needed to know about? Anything you can think of?
No, because really my dad has been my coach pretty much my whole career.
Mm.
So he was used to it.
And so your dad, he coached you throughout like your Olympic career?
Yes.
Wow. What yes, about in when you started track and field at the public school? Was he your coach there too?
He was my coach then too.
Oh my God.
So he's always been there, because a little fun fact, my dad is also an Olympic silver medalist. in the 1984 Ooh. Olympic Games. And I didn't know that because my dad also played professional football for the San Francisco 49ers.
Ooh, 49ers.
Yes. So I grew up with him playing football. I didn't know about his track and field career because that happened in 84 and I was born in 85. So I had no idea. And so he knew that there were going to be very high expectations of me because his name is Michael Carter. My name is Michelle Carter. You know, people are going to automatically know, like, you have to be his daughter. And so he knew that there were going to be high expectations. So he kind of was hands-on from the very first day with me, making sure that I knew how to do this throw correctly because he knew that people were going to be expecting big things from me.
Wow. So for parents of kids who are maybe struggling with ADHD or some learning and thinking difference, maybe something else, can you make a case for why encouraging that kid pick up a sport might be helpful? Like, what can participating in sports offer a kid who may be just getting frustrated in school or at home and they just like kind of feel a little lost?
Well, I do believe that it's a physical outlet. I've been reading that most or a lot of people with ADHD have some kind of tic that they do. They fidget, they may bite their nails, they may bite their tongue. There's something that they do that's like a physical outlet of energy. So I do think sports is great because it gives them a moment to just get that energy out, let their brains kind of be free while they're making their bodies work.
There happen to be a lot of high-achieving athletes like you who have talked about having ADHD, right? Like I'm thinking, obviously, we've got Simone Biles, Michael Phelps. I think track star Justin Gatlin might have said he had ADHD.
Yeah.
So is there a connection there? Might ADHD be a superpower for some people? What do you think about that?
I believe that wholeheartedly. Your brain just processes differently. And when you're able to look at things and process things, you can get results that other people can't get.
And I wonder too, do you think, because I know you said earlier that, you know, when you're when you like something, you can really focus on it. Do you think that ADHD hyperfocus has to do with some of folks' success in sports?
Most definitely, because you're willing to push yourself past this normal pain threshold that most people quit, right? If you're able to do that one more set, but then that one more set turned into like 15 one more sets, right? Because we want to get it figured out so badly that we're willing to go past where most people are not willing to go.
So you are a role model for a lot of kids and especially girls in sports. Tell us about You Throw Girl, your sports camp, and what made you want to do it.
Yeah, so You Throw Girl Sports Confidence Camp is my summer program that I'm super duper excited about. This summer, we are expanding it to 5 days of spending the night with teenagers.
Nice.
I know, it's like, what am I getting myself into? A weekend was hard, now I'm about to do 5 days. But why I created this camp was because most sports camps are the bare minimum for kids. You go there, you might get a sandwich, you might not. You got water, and it's all about the sport. Like, you're going to learn this technique, and then you're out the door. Well, camps like that were boring to me. How many free throws I got to throw today, right? You know, it's like, I went to a sports camp like that, and the theme song was, all we do is eat and play basketball, eat and play basketball, eat and play basketball, sleep. And they was not lying because that's all we did. And which is appropriate at times. I get it. But I also wanted a summer camp. They cared about everything about who I was as a young woman. And I thought in my mind, it'll be so cool to go to a sports camp where I'm also working on goals, where I'm also learning different things about myself. Because I truly believe my confidence, and people ask me all the time, Michelle, why are you so confident? How were you confident as a female athlete, especially being a plus size female athlete? When you're bigger, taller than the average person, in people's eyes, you're supposed to be insecure. You're supposed to be insecure. Like, but why are you so confident? And if you're confident, how can you get my daughter to be confident? Like, those were the questions I was getting. And so I realized this was a thing because I wasn't just only focused on me as an athlete. I was allowed to do other things. And I think that that helped me be confident in who I am in general. So if these young girls are lacking confidence, it's not because they're lacking confidence in sport. They're lacking confidence and they don't fully believe and trust in who they are as young women. So now if I take you in your sport where you might be confident in this one area in life, but in everything else you might not, let me combine it all. And I want you to be confident no matter what you do. If you do sports or not, you're going to know how to set goals. You have some financial literacy. You're going to have etiquette. So when you do well in whatever you do well, you know how to sit at a table and use every single fork and spoon that's laid in front of you. You're going to learn how to walk and talk with confidence. You're going to know how to introduce yourself when you walk into a room. Just giving them these tools that I was given by my parents just in life. Everybody didn't have what I have. And I understand that that's rare. So I want to provide that where parents may not feel or may not know themselves, or maybe their daughters don't listen to them, but they'll listen to me. I want to put you in an environment where you're around other girls and women that you can relate to, who are doing amazing things, and you might see yourself in them. And next thing you know, these girls are out here doing things they never thought they could do.
I just love that it's like a whole person camp.
So awesome.
It really is.
Thank you.
And so you have this amazing camp that you're running. And so as an adult now, do you feel impacted by ADHD or dyslexia? And if so, how do you manage that? Or do you feel like you've got strategies you use? Because obviously, like running a business like this, like that takes a lot of organization, right?
Yes. I'm still working through my strategies because number one, I work well under pressure. So waiting for the last minute to do things always work well, but doesn't always work well for sponsorships.
Right.
And for things of that nature. So this year, I have a friend who's going to help me with some organization things. And I've been better at planning ahead, trying to get things done, creating my own deadlines to get things done in a timely manner. Like my flyers will be up and the registration will be up this week. This is probably the earliest I've ever done it. but just like little things like that, getting other people involved helps because they're like, Michelle, you should have had this done. And I'm like, oh, thank you. So just adding people in the mix of what I'm doing and accepting help. Is helping me. I am a physical planner type of girl. If I don't write it, it don't exist. So I know that about myself. And then also lately I realized I need a good 7 to 8 hours of sleep.
Oh yeah. Sleep. I 100% agree.
it's not an option for me anymore. Like I don't,
yeah.
And I think this is something that people just got to talk about in general. We live in a culture where we hustle and grind so much. Mm-hmm. And we are wearing ourselves out trying to live by these standards that are just made up. And so I realized when I get sleep, I can think so much better throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And maybe my work days don't always have to be 8 hours.
Yeah.
Knowing that about me, I do 2 hours here, take a break, take an hour there, take a break. It looks different because I understand I can focus, but then I also got to have my mind a chance to relax because it can become overwhelming. And then when I get overwhelmed, I get tired, my brain shuts down, then my body shuts down, and then I'm out of commission for like a couple of days.
Right.
And that's something I'm doing recently, realizing that there's some things that do have to get done in a certain time, and that's fine. But there's some things I can take my time on and do it at the pace that I need to do it so that I can be excellent at what I do and not turn in half effort work.
Yeah, that's really great. And I think just going back to the first part of your answer about kind of keeping your business moving and bringing some people in who can help you in certain areas, like creating that accountability for yourself, like that helps me so much with like, it's almost like, I feel like this is kind of silly, but like having a gym buddy.
I think they call the term like, is it shadow work?
Or body doubling.
Doubling. So when I'm cleaning up, I don't need you to help me clean up. I just want you to sit in the room while I'm cleaning up.
Yeah.
Like if you can sit there and talk to me, I'm about to get this whole house together. But if I'm here by myself, I'm like, oh my God, I can't clean up. I guess it creates that pressure that makes me get it done. I'm not sure, but it just feels so much better to have somebody else around.
Yeah. No, totally. I've seen my own kids FaceTime their friends and they're doing their homework because I'll walk in the room and my daughter will be like, well, mom, don't say anything. Like I'm on FaceTime. And I'm like, you are? But you're so quiet. She's like, yeah, we're doing homework. But they're not actually interacting.
Right.
It's just that accountability. Oh, that she's looking down. I'm going to be looking down.
Yep. Yeah. I love it.
So do you have any tips for families with kids who have ADHD or dyslexia?
I do. One, is allow your kid to be them. I think sometimes it may be a little annoying. They may get on your nerves a little bit, but they need their moment to fully express themselves. Because in the rest of the world, they have to contain themselves in some type of way, right? At school, they may have to contain themselves. And sometimes their relationship with their friends, because they're different, they have to contain themselves. Mm-hmm. But when they come home, create a safe space for them to fully be them, to have their moment, so they don't feel judged, where they don't feel like they have to pretend to be something else. They can just be them. And then my other encouragement, I would say, for families, just change your view on even how you view ADHD and dyslexia. It's not a handicap. It may feel like that, and there may be some really hard times, but at the end of the day, they just think differently. And you want to encourage them to continue to think differently, because you don't know what they could actually discover in life. You don't know what they have to offer, because you don't understand it. But if your child kind of found their lane and they're doing things, allow them to do that and encourage them. Let them know that they are smart. Let them know that they can do it. It's going to be different, but you can do it. Let's figure this out together. Because I think if I didn't feel confident about who I was, I think I would be a totally different person. Yeah. I was taught to not care about what other people thought about me, because I realized some people thought I was slow, but I didn't care. And I think that makes a big difference in a child's life when they know when they can come home, they're loved, they're supported, and they are free to be themselves. And that helps build that confidence in who they are.
All right. So we have one last thing before we go, because, of course, we want to talk a little more about your Olympic career. Yes. So you've been to the Olympics multiple times, and yes, you won gold in 2016. Mm-hmm. What the heck is it like to go to the Olympics? Like, you know, we watch we see all these amazing athletes, and we're just like, oh, my God, how do they do any of this? But, like, what is it like there? Is it fun? Is it terrifying?
Oh,
like,
my God.
What's the vibe?
How's the food?
Oh, okay. So I've been three times, and I feel like I've had three different experiences.
Okay.
My very first one was in 2008 in Beijing, China, and I was completely overwhelmed and nervous. Because it was my first Olympic Games, and I didn't know how to really manage my emotions and the energy that I was carrying. Yeah. And because there's something special about the whole world is invested in you when you make the Olympic team.
Right.
So I'm not carrying my emotions and my dreams and the things that I want. I'm carrying along my city, my town, and essentially the country.
Yep.
So in 2012, I realized, okay, my second team, I can't talk to everybody. I can't take all the interviews. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even answering like messages on social media anymore. Even though it's all encouraging, it could be so overwhelming for the athlete.
Yeah.
So that Olympic Games, I did all the things, like whatever they could do at the Olympic Games, I did it all. I did opening and closing ceremonies. I went to all the sponsorship houses. I was out there getting whatever was free for the athletes. I did it all. I went to all the parties. Like, that was my Olympic Games, to kind of just enjoy the Olympics.
Uh-huh.
And then when I got to Rio, I was really about business, because prior to that, I was injured. And so my Olympic Games was actually my fourth track meet of the year.
Oh, wow.
And so I had to focus. So I didn't do opening ceremonies, because I couldn't, exert that extra energy. I was like the most chilled, relaxed person that I've ever been in my entire life at my third Olympic Games. And so when I went out there to compete and everything turned out the way that it did, I ended up winning on my very last throw. And I'm just sitting back reflecting, like, it took 20 years to get to this moment.
Yeah.
Everything that I've experienced, everything that I've been through, good, bad, or indifferent, has led me to this one moment in life.
Yeah.
And I was just grateful for the experience, even though it took longer than I wanted, but I wouldn't trade it for the world, because it helped me become the woman that I needed to be, not just for that moment, but for life.
Wow. Wow. And we want to know, when you get your medal, you go on the podium.
I really, like, do want to know.
I know. Are you there in your body, or are you just like someplace else because you just can't believe you're getting this medal?
Well, for me, I was actually fully there in a moment. Uh-huh. And the reason why, because I truly believe in the power of visualization, right? I saw myself doing this so many times that it wasn't an outer body experience because I'm like, I knew I can get here. I've seen myself here. I know exactly what's going to happen. We're going to walk out and I'm going to be in the middle. And then they're going to do third place on this side, then second place on this side. And then when it's my turn, I get to step up in the middle. I'm going to step up. They're going to call my name. I'm going to wave to all the people. Then I'm going to bend over. They're going to hand me my flowers, kiss me on my cheek, put my medal on my head. And I'm like, I had it all like laid out and it happened exactly like that. But then what was so beautiful about the moment was that I was able to observe who was at my medal ceremony. So I'm looking in the audience and I see my dad, and then I see some of the coaches, and there were other athletes, and there were just people who actually came from the United States and was there in that moment. And then I meet these people later on. Like I met somebody a few months ago. He said, I was at Rio when you threw and I came to your medal ceremony. So just to share that moment, not just with myself, but those who were there, but then also with the entire world. Like it wasn't just my moment. It was our moment for whatever reason why you related to me.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
I just want to jump in with a quick thing before we wrap up. Okay. So this is actually kind of going back to your dad's Olympics.
Yeah.
So I was 8 for the 1984 Olympics and I was obsessed with the Olympics.
Yeah.
And I found an old diary recently of mine where I wrote in it, like in these crazy 8-year-old style bubble letters, like, I must go to the Olympics.
Yes.
Like, I was like just completely taken with the whole idea of the Olympics. And like, I have to say this now because like 8-year-old me, that kid's head is exploding, like that I'm getting to talk with you and that your dad was also an Olympic medalist. It's just, it's so amazing and just like really great to get to have this conversation.
That's awesome, Rachel.
That's my fangirl moment.
Yeah.
I definitely get it. I understand. I love it. I absolutely love it.
For more about Michelle Carter, including a fun video she did for us a few years ago, check out our show notes.
You've been listening to In It from the Understood Podcast Network.
This show is for you, so we want to make sure you're getting what you need. Email us at init@understood.org to share your thoughts. We love hearing from you.
If you want to learn more about the topics we covered today, check out our show notes. We include more resources as well as links to anything we mentioned in the episode.
Understood.org is a resource dedicated to helping people who learn and think differently discover their potential and thrive. Learn more at understood.org/mission.
In It is produced by Julie Subrin. Alana Milner is our production director. Justin D. Wright mixes the show. Mike Errico wrote our theme music.
For the Understood Podcast Network, Laura Key is our editorial director. Scott Koshier is our creative director. And Seth Melnick is our executive producer. Thanks for listening.
And thanks for always being in it with us.